Acts chapter 17. If you'd like to turn to that, I'll tell you, I've just been a-digging. And the deeper you dig, the more gold you find. Hallelujah. So tonight, we started preaching, I don't know how long ago, on this victory. I have victory over. Now we're down to over the false altars. Or the false religion, if you will. Not everybody has that, folks. Now, I can tell you, it's one thing. We go somewhere a lot of times. I mentioned a few weeks back while you're finding Acts 17. We'll mention this again. This elder man, we went to this crusade thing, and they had a hip-hopper there. I didn't know what a hip-hopper was. And still ain't sure I know what a hip-hopper is, but I can tell you it ain't anything I desire, I can assure you that. And as an older man and woman, I guess in their late 70s. In fact, this man's died, I believe, since then. Is that right, Diane? He looked pretty healthy then, acted like he's having a pretty good time. He's out there doing all them movements when they say, put your right hand out and your left foot out and all this and that. And he's out there right in the middle of that stuff, you know. Now, I can guarantee you that ain't his way of worship. I could guarantee you that wasn't the way that man worshiped. But he got involved, and sometimes we don't know how spiritually to say no. And sometimes, folks, you know, you hear it said, and you see billboards, just say no. I believe it's going up the Harrison Hill. They're shooting for a smoke-free environment. Never happened, but that's what they're shooting for. And I got a picture of a young man there, and he just says, hey, just say no. A drug-free environment, and they got signs, billboards, just say no. Well, to the false religion, I believe, folks, Sister Helen, we've got to have backbone enough spiritually to just simply say, hey, if the Spirit of God ain't leading me to go that direction, I say no. I'm not going into something just because it feels good, looks good, and I'm not going into something just because the majority is. Do you know the majority of folks ain't going to heaven? The majority's not going to make it. It's going to be few that make it. I don't want to be of those that don't make it, do you? I got to make it. Hallelujah. Turn with us to the book of Acts chapter 17, and we're going to go over some same scripture, some we read last week, not as many. And we won't be backing up, filling in a lot from we started last week and filled you in, chapter 17, verse 16 down. We're not going back up in that for time's sake. Going to go to some areas down here we didn't really get into. If you can, feel like it, stand with us tonight. Going to begin in verse number 22, Acts chapter 17. Verse number 22, help us preach a little while, and I'll do my best. I'm going to say 40 minutes. If I can get her done in 40 minutes, boy, I'd feel good about that. If that's what God wants, and if it takes an hour, then I'll feel good about that too. But whatever it takes, we just want to obey the Lord tonight. Verse number 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship. Him declare, I like the last part of verse number 23, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life. I want you to remember this, breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their inhabitations. Verse number 27, that they should seek the Lord, and if they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's device. And listen to what he said, verse number 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge. I want you to listen to this. The world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they, verse number 32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. I'm going to stop right there. We may go on a little bit here, a little bit further in this, but you may be seated tonight for a little while. I want to preach on victory over the false religion. Victory over the false religion. Every one of us, at one time or another, has had false in us. Probably some of us, I've had the Lord to work on me and bring out things that, boy, I one time thought was just how it was, and a little ways down the road has matured in the things of God. Brother Arliss, God began to reveal that's not the way that it is. You see, the kid sang this little song. It took him just 6 days to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter's and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. Why? For he's still working on me. He's molding us into that vessel for honor. He's making us in his likeness that we can be that soldier of the cross without shame or reproach. And I thought here, Brother Arliss, as you look back, it'll take me just a little bit to get this set. The foundation of what God's laid on her heart. But I want you to notice, the Bible says here in 17 and verse number 21, for all the Athenians, how do you say that, Diane? Athenians and strangers. Now I want you to listen. This wasn't just those that were of that region or that were birthed there. The strangers that come in. Now, there's a reason for this to state the way that it does, which were there, spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Now, the reason this is stated this way, Apostle Paul has been teaching them a doctrine they are not acquainted with. Brother Arliss, he had been here for a little while. He had taught in the synagogues to the Jews. He had taught in the marketplaces by day to the Gentiles, to the outcasts, if you will. And he taught nothing other than Jesus Christ, Him crucified and resurrected. He talked about the resurrection. Therefore, there had to be a death before resurrection. I believe that Apostle Paul talked about in his preaching and teaching, Brother Smith, about the altar of the altar that's known to God, the altar that God receives the sacrifices upon before He passed by this altar. You see, the Bible says that when He was there, His spirit stirred in Him because He saw the whole city is given to idolatry. I've kind of have a feeling this afternoon if Apostle Paul were to walk through Boone County for just a period of time, he had been here. He spent 3 Sabbath days in the synagogue. If he stayed 3 weeks in Boone County, I can assure you, if he preached as he preached right here and taught as he did right here, he'd come up again religious spirits such that he probably had never encountered. And they would be demons and powers and principalities, Brother Arliss Burks, that would try to get him out of town or even do away with him. But I thought here, as the Bible began to declare that in this place of Athens, that there were strangers there also, and all these, you see, there were people wept there because this was a great city, a great place of carnality or flesh, if you will. One of the gods that they worshipped was a sun god. Another god that they worshipped was the moon god. And this was not unknown. This was not an unknown god to them. This was a god that was marked at that particular altar. And there was an inscription there to the moon god. There was one certain character in their day, I forgot his name, that they said that he would fly through the heavens, and they would declare in their preaching or message that there was great power of this man, of the sun god, of the sun god. And I thought, Brother Smith, as I begin to study and do some research on this, I can tell you, Apostle Paul being righteous with God, in right standing with God, his spirit's getting more stirred every moment he walked through that unrighteous city. And as he began to preach, some of them said, I wonder what this babbler has to say now. I wonder what he's going to tell us the next time. But you see, he got their curiosity up enough that some of them, just simply so it'd be something new that they hadn't heard about, took him before Mars Hill. This was the highest of courts, if you will. And they asked if they'd hear the matter, that they may learn and understand what he's talking about. And you see, old Apostle Paul may have been enough like Leo Dye. He said, I'm glad you asked me. I'm just dying to tell you. And here's what he said. He said, when I walked by Mars Hill, he said, I perceive that in all things that all of you are too superstitious. And all the things that you're believing, none of these things are going to matter one day at all. And he goes a little farther and said, when I passed by, I beheld. He's just acting like, and I can tell you, folks, if you were to study on this, you would find that when he left Thessalonica and went to Berea, it was for his life. I mean, the religious groups after him. And now he just wound up. I don't believe that probably this city of Athens was actually in his destiny to go. I believe the Spirit led him that direction in that persecution for this reason. And as he's there, he said, I just passed by and I saw this inscription to the unknown. And listen, it wasn't just the unknown altar there to the unknown God. There's an altar, and at that altar, there's an inscription, and it says, now, here's what I've come up with in this. Several ways you can go in this. They one time knew the real God, the majority. They had backed away from God. But also, because they wanted strangers. It was kind of a eureka, if you will. It's an attraction place. What's that place where they gamble all the time in Nevada? Las Vegas. Yeah, that's what it is. It's a Las Vegas, Brother Arliss. And they said the strangers are there. Listen, everybody that comes, it's where America's at today. America wants everybody under the sun when they come to America, feel at home. I don't know why it's this way. You punch a button to call a number to a business or getting your cell phone or anything, and the first thing they'll say for English, press 1. That makes me so sick I want to throw the phone down. It hadn't ought to be that way at all. We speak English in America, by the way. But it doesn't say for Spanish, press. It says for English, press 1. What's America trying to do? I'm not against the Spanish people. I'm not against these other race of people. But folks, I'm telling you, if those are from Saudi Arabia or Iraq or Iran come to America, I believe they ought to serve the America God, at least not try to conform folks to the God of Allah or whoever it may be, to the Arliss. But what we see happening here at Mars Hill, they've got an inscription to the unknown. When all the strangers come, they'll say, now I've seen the inscription to the sun god. I saw the inscription to the moon god, to the goddess Diane. I saw all of these, but I didn't see my... Oh, that's what that unknown one is. That's your God. Oh, everybody has to fit in. This unknown God is your God. You can bow down, feel right at home here. We won't want anybody to be offended in what we stand for. So therefore, we're all going to the same place. Walk by Mars Hill at ease. You don't walk by, as Apostle Paul did, stirred up. You walk by at ease. If you don't see the altar here to your God, walk a little farther. You'll find one. And then when they see that to the unknown, and they question, well, now, I'm a Buddhist. I didn't see no God there. I didn't see no sign there in an altar to my God. That's it. The unknown, that's your God. Listen, folks, but Apostle Paul began to say to them, him declare, I unto thee. It's the God that made the heaven and the earth and all that's therein. I believe Brother Arliss, as Apostle Paul began to preach to them, they was folks stood up and took notice of that Brother Smith. I believe he went back. Now somebody says, you don't know this. He said something. I kind of got a feeling. My spirit and Apostle Paul's spirit is agreeing together. I kind of feel like he took him back. He talked about the creation. I believe when he took him back to the book of Genesis, I believe he said in the beginning, Brother Arliss, God created the heaven and the earth. Why do you say that, preacher? He said, him declare I unto thee the God that created the heaven and the earth and everything that's therein. And Brother Arliss, I can just see old Paul getting a little wound up. He's feeling new daddies, big enough to hang a milk bucket on about now. And he said, there was darkness and up on the face of the earth, but the Spirit of God moved up on the face of the waters and said, let there be light. And there was light. Listen, folks, that sun that comes up in the morning is not, he's saying to them there at Mars Hill, that's not the God you're to serve. The God that I'm declaring to you made that sun. The moon that'll come up by night. The God I'm declaring to you, he made that moon. Everything that's therein, this God created it. He's the creator of everything. Woo! I can just see. Now, folks, there wasn't anybody else helping old Paul. He didn't even have Timothy and Silas. He by himself. Besides the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And I'm telling you, he stood and preached a powerful message right there on Mars Hill. Somebody says, well, now I know sometimes I felt binding spirits. I tell you I have. Now possibly Apostle Paul didn't get loose like he had in other places. If you look at this, when he took his journey here into Athens, there was less, as far as we can see, accomplished there than any other place Apostle Paul stopped and preached. Let me just show you something here. But I can tell you, he didn't leave in failure. He didn't leave in failure. He went from there to Corinth. And I can tell you, folks, if you just start researching a little further in this, what a great work was done. But in this, let me give you a name. How do you say that? Dehenius? Huh? Dionysus. Dionysus, this last verse, number 34, talks about, and a woman there named Damaris, and others with them that followed him. Now, this caught my attention greatly. And I'm telling you, it took me 3 days to find anybody. I don't very seldom ever pick up a commentary. But it just about burns me to no end when everybody jumps over the things you don't know about. Everybody wants to talk about the things you know about. But when you go to things you don't know about, here you got Bible scholars and folks that's of great names, and they jump right over it and don't say anything. But I finally found some information about this. How you say it again, Diane? Dionysus. Ooh, what a name. This man was a homeborn individual right there in the city of Athens. And when he got up to years, he was schooled, as Apostle Paul was schooled, at the feet of Gamaliel, but he was schooled in Egypt, from what I can find history of this man. He was schooled in Egypt, and in his schooling, he is taught astrology. Boy, he'd fit in real good right there, I'm telling you. And he's leader of all of those that were there at Mars Hill. He was senator. He was senator and judge there. And when he was brought, when the man that heard him brought him and said to this Capitol Hill of Mars Hill, they brought him there and they're bringing him before this man. Not just him alone, but others. And they're bringing him there that they can see whether it'd be all right for them to question Paul to see about this new thing. Ooh, we ain't never heard about this. And all of a sudden, when he began to declare to them, he talked about the resurrection. Now, they believed there was a resurrection as far as a resurrection of the spiritual part, but they didn't believe once you died, there's a resurrection. Brother Arliss, and they got mad. Some of them got very mad. And they said, they mocked him. They ridiculed. They made fun of him. But I can tell you that this man that was high up in that, when Apostle Paul began to leave Athens, the Bible declares he followed him behind. He went right with him. And this Damaris, and as far as I could tell, I did some research on this woman, and the Bible doesn't give us any clear story at all. You read out everything about her name, match. Doesn't give us any story at all about who she is. But some of the history that I found said she very well could have been the wife of this, what was the name? Dionysus. And others, I don't know how many others, probably not very many others, but others that followed Brother Arliss. And what are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, folks, it'll take something to get victory over of the false gods and religion. It'll take something to get victory. You see, it's a lot easier for Dionysus to stay there as far as the flesh battles and to say all these gods are all right. You know, folks, we've got people right on TBN that's world evangelists that people brag up and say they're just great and grand that will not tell you Jesus is the only way. If Muhammad's the way, then we're living a lie. If Allah's the way, we are living a lie. My Bible doesn't say either one of them are the way, Brother Arliss. But it said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Apostle Paul saying here at Mars Hill, at the city of Athens, he's saying to this group of people that is sold out to idolatry. They're sold out to things of pleasure and sinful natures. Folks, you look around in the areas around about us. It seems like everybody is selling out to sinful nature. They're selling out to things that appeal to the flesh. But I'm here to tell you, as Apostle Paul said to them, him declare I unto thee. He doesn't have to be an unknown God. He can be the God of heaven and the God of earth and everything that's therein. Everything that's provided for you and I, folks, it's because of Him. Paul said, in Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our being. Every day of our life, folks, we ought to thank God that He's took us one more day toward Him in heaven. We ought to thank God. As Paul began to preach, you see, this poet, they have religious rituals. And probably about any church that we would know to go into, I could name some names of some that I feel is awful far-fetched. They would say something that we could probably agree with while we were there. There would be some truths. That's one of the reasons, folks, I don't want a Bible that's just got some truth in it. I want a Bible that's all truth. I've either got to be entirely sold out and believing that this Bible is all truth, or Brother Arliss, I wouldn't know what part of it is and what part isn't. And therefore, folks, it's the same way when we preach this gospel. We've got to preach it declaring not ourselves, but declaring Him as Paul did. Declaring Him in the death, in the burial, in the resurrection, coming forth victorious over hell and the grave, and having the keys to that, and giving the church power and authority in this hour to stand. Do you know that most folks today, now I'm not getting on to anybody, and possibly, now if you go to another church, I don't believe you have the right to go to another church. If you go to a Church of Christ and they don't play music, I don't believe you ought to drag your guitar in and say, I'm playing this music, like it or not. God might strike you dead. If you can't sing without that music, you don't have a song anyhow. And them folks not playing a guitar ain't going to keep them out of heaven, I can tell you that. In fact, there's some places that I believe folks are more in love with their musical instruments and with the songs that they sang so lovely than they are with our Lord and Savior. If you take that eloquent music and back up behind them out, you couldn't make them sing. They wouldn't sing. The Bible doesn't say for us to sing and sound eloquent. It says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth's going to speak. I believe folks that very well could be. There's times, I don't know, years ago, I believe for a few weeks we went Church of Christ. Yeah, it made some folks mad. Anybody else remember that? We didn't have no music for about 3 or 4 weeks. I said, Brother Arliss, I don't think you's coming here then. We was having problems with, this old competing spirit. Ain't nobody going to pray no louder than me because I'm the best here. Nobody said that. Don't come and ask me who said that. Nobody didn't say it. They didn't have to. Here I am. I don't feel sorry for Leo for a while. Poor old Leo. I ain't never heard my guitar in 19 years. I don't even know if it's got strings or not. Don't you feel sorry for me? Somebody say, poor Brother Leo. But I ain't playing that guitar to sound pretty, because I can tell you, if I was, most folks wouldn't want to hear it. But, you know, sometimes I have to get down there, and I caught myself a lot of times right up here playing in the wrong key. Simply because I couldn't hear what I was doing. And I know there's a few of them said, well, get you an amp and put it up here. I said, then I'd be like all the other competitors. I got to get a bigger amp than you got, because I got to get louder than you are. Well, I knew you'd like this tonight, but it's a truth anyhow. And after a while, you kill ever the dear old saints. No wonder I can't hear today. The dear old saints. And I know now why we went Church of Christ for a while. Probably they had problems somewhere down the way and they figured it out. We'll just make a melody in our heart and we don't have to put up with all that carnality. If I don't have a song enough in my heart, I can sing it without music, then something's wrong, folks. Something's wrong. Listen, this is some of the things there at Mars Hill. It's all about the feel good. Nobody takes a stand. Getting back to my thought, you don't go places and if you're at a visiting church, you don't go there and try to straighten those folks out and line those folks up. It'll take God. And I can tell you, if God can't do it, who in the world do we think we are to do it, Brother Arliss? But what I'm simply saying, we got to have, it takes something to have victory over the false religion. It'll take something. I'm not able to do it. I don't have to get down there and participate. I don't have to. And I can tell you, if it's songs that's not worthy to be sang, I ain't about to sing them. Brother Smith, I'll sit there balk like an old mule. I'll not sing them. But some folks says, well, I'm here. I don't want them to think I ain't getting something out of this. And I can tell you, one church we went to, and some of you know where it was, a man come by that knew me, and the first thing he said, I could tell he was shocked to no end to see me there, and he shook hands with me, Brother Smith, and he said, Brother Dye, I just hope you get something out of the service today. He knew it was going to take a real hard search to find anything that I could take home out of that service. And he said, I just hope you get something out of this service. I didn't get up and try to stop that service. That wasn't the church that God had placed me in. But I can tell you this, folks, when others ask me, what do you think about that church? I'd say to them, if you've got somebody there that you love, I'd get them out if I could. Because I believe it's a false church. Why? Because the Spirit doesn't bear witness. They don't preach the Word of God. They're just preaching a word. And I'm not saying they don't do some good things. I'm not saying they don't say some good things. But I can tell you, when that false gets inside of you, there's a lot of those folks that one time knew that God, that now they've got an altar to the unknown. It's just an altar there. Just perhaps there's something greater than what we have found here. The sun god, the moon god, the goddess Diane, the god of this country or that country. And there's something greater, Brother Arliss. And after a decade, after a few years, if not careful, we'll fall into that type of worship and we'll lose out with the real God. And then when Apostle Paul comes by and begins to preach, we'll say, tell us more about that strange preaching and teaching you're preaching. Wasn't nothing strange about his preaching and teaching. Why, it had been all the way down since the time of the birth of the church. And he was teaching a lot and preaching a lot of even of the church before Christ. The patriarchs of old. Nothing false about that. Nothing strange about it. But this isn't the God that they're serving. It's the God of feel good. It's the God of material. You can call him God, but just don't mention his name being Jesus. You just don't mention that name. It's got to be unknown. They got to figure all this out for themselves. And then when the strangers come, they can feel right at home. They don't feel uncomfortable. I can tell you, folks, I know for different years we've had, and we used to be a little more radical here than what we are now. In fact, we would have actually been called Holy Rollers a few years ago. Now it'd be hard to get that name tag, I can tell you, as a rule. But there's been times I knew there was a young man and his wife, and I think they had a couple of teenage kids, maybe a girl and a boy, I'm not sure. But he helped us there at the place a little bit, didn't know anything about God. They'd been to a Baptist church just a little, but going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage will make you a car, Brother Arliss. No, it doesn't. And they didn't know anything about God. And I'd invite them to church, and they come. And I remember they sat right back here behind somewhere there where AJ's at, maybe a seat or two seats back. We's up here on the front, and it's one of them nights. Now, I'm saying this for a reason. I was getting a little concerned. I knew we was going to scare them out of their wits. It's one of them nights things are getting a little out of hand, as you'd see it. And I'm saying, oh, God, don't let things get too carried away here tonight. As sure as we do, it's going to scare them to death, and they're going to leave, and they'll never come back. And let them work into this thing slow. But I've learned, folks, God will take care of Himself. This true religion will take care of itself. If it's of God, Gamal said, we can't do a thing about it. And if it ain't, it'll come to naught. I've come to that conclusion. And I remember somebody, all of a sudden they went to flopping like a fish out of water. And they was down on the floor. And I mean, their feet was shaking, their hands were shaking, their head was jerking. And you'd have thought, sure as the world, they went into convulsions if you didn't know about God. Here come that young man up here, and he grabbed my wife, and he said, is he having a seizure? Isn't that what he said? Or having a seizure? Diane said, no, said, that's the Holy Ghost. And he said, the what? That's the Holy Ghost. He had not a clue what was going on. Here I am scared to death. He just went back there and sat down, paid attention. And since, I mean, he just confirmed. He thought he needed to do CPR, something going on here, something bad happening. But when he found out, there ain't nothing wrong with him, but God's got a hold of him. Well, he just sat down and started observing that. And the next day, I'm scared to death thinking, oh, Lord, what did we do to him? How much damage did we do last night? Brother Arliss, he starts questioning. I mean, he's interested. He don't know about it, but he's interested. Now, I said that for this reason, folks. There was people right there on Mars Hill that was interested. They didn't know about it. They didn't understand it. When Apostle Paul began to declare, there's an unknown, a description to the unknown, I'll declare him to you. You don't know about him, but I do. Now, to a heathen nation, they may have come by and they said that unknown God's our God. But I'm telling you, this particular moment, Apostle Paul said, I know about him. I used to, didn't I? He was unknown to me. I was bound up. I was clothed in religion. I was carrying papers of religion to do away with those that knew this God. But now I can declare him unto you. He's the God of the heavens. He's the God of the earth. And everything that's therein, he's God of all. He's God of all. And as Apostle Paul began to declare this, oh, hey, some of them, they're getting anxious to find out. Now, some of them said, what kind of babbling's he going to do now? 3 weeks of teaching before he got down to this point. He's right at the point of leaving out. So they'd heard from him quite a lot, and he'd expounded a whole lot, and now some of them, it's to the point, well, we're going to go along and see what he got to say. I wonder what he's going to babble about today. I sure didn't get nothing out of that in the give yesterday. I don't know what happened today, but we're going to go find out what kind of babbling you're going to have today. Boy, that'd encourage a preacher, wouldn't it, Brother Arliss? I mean, that would make the doodaddies grow doodaddies for somebody to encourage you like that. And Apostle Paul's headed toward Mars Hill. He has kept driving it straight, preaching straight. And here all along, here's this man. What's his name again, Diane? Dionysus. And here's a woman, Damaris. And others. I don't know the other's name. Bible doesn't declare the name. But as they begin to follow, that see, he's brought here. And Dionysus heard this matter. It begins to get a hold of him. They said, we'll just hear you further on this. One day of this teaching ain't enough. I ain't sure about it. The young man that sat back there, he didn't understand it. He didn't just say, man, I was so thrilled to death to see that man flop around the floor. He didn't understand it at all. He thought he's having a seizure. But after it was explained to him, that's God a hold of him. Whatever God's, if he wants him to roll, he's rolling, I guess. Wants him to shout, he's going to shout. Wants him to dance, he'll dance. That's the Spirit of God moving in him. Now, not everybody that rolls on the floor is the Spirit of God on them. Sometimes it's the spirit of these religions that get a hold. It may be the sun god got him down there wallowing around like a hog in a while. I don't know. Yet the Bible says, try the spirits where they be of God. And I can tell you, folks, I know that I've been in services and see folks that shouted and danced and squalled and spoke in tongues that was as big a devil's as you ever saw? It takes something to get victory over the false religion. The first church of the deadhead will tell you it's all right to live with someone in adultery. It's all right for you to have idols, other gods. You just pay your tithe every week, come to church on Sunday. Nothing else makes any difference. But I'm here to tell you it's hard to get away from that. It's a whole lot easier to listen. And they tell me there's a church not far from here that takes your W-2 forms and you have to file them with them if you become a member of that church. And if you don't pay, it ain't 10%, but I believe it's 20%. One person just told me, said they got too expensive for me to go. I thought, dear God in heaven, I'd pay folks to come here if I had to and can't get them to come. But they'll go to a false church, Brother Arliss, and they'll send them a dun if they don't pay their tithe. They want them to do it in a check, and if they don't have record of it, they'll call them up, ask them where their money is. Well, I'm telling you, that wouldn't set real good with this preacher. The first phone call, I'd say, well, point number one is it ain't your money. It's mine and God's. And he said not to cast our pearls before swine. And I don't believe I'll give my money to the devil. And I'd find some widow woman to give it to, and I know that would work. I'd find somebody in great need, give it to. I know that'll work. Now, I can tell you, folks, now, what are you getting at? And I'm not trying to belittle folks or call names. I'm not trying to do that at all. But I'm trying to tell you that it's hard for us to get victory over religion. There's spirits out there. Why will folks pay a big percentage of their paycheck every week, Brother Arliss, to sit under that kind of garbage? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm just dying to tell you. It's because that preacher will never tell them there ain't nothing sin, everything's all right. Whatever you do, it ain't the blood that covers it. It's your pocketbook. And we talk about Catholic folks going to the Pope and praying their sins away once a year or whenever it is. Brother Arliss, but I can tell you, folks, there's more people in our area than we ever could have imagined that's living the same thing. They think a man, just because they pay a few dollars in tithes, they can live like they want to, and in the end, everything's going to be all right. But I got news for them. It's not going to be all right, because it's in Him. Now, I'm not trying to tell folks not to pay tithes. Don't get me wrong. I'm a pastor, Brother Arliss, but I've never, and I've had a few people tell me I was wrong for not doing it. I've never preached on tithe. I ain't never had the need to. Sure, I preached here when I didn't get $100 and something. I preached here, which Diane thinks if I get over 200, that's about 190 more than I'm worth. And probably some of you think the same thing. But I've never preached on tithe, and it wouldn't matter to me. It wouldn't matter to me, folks. I really mean this. I can tell you this. I'm not too good to work. In fact, I work all the time. I don't work on a public job, but I'm not too good to work. If I need to work, I'll work, Brother Smith. But I believe the Bible says that labor's worthy of his hire. I don't push the issue of here just a few weeks ago, tithing got down pretty low. And I know times is hard. Well, artists, I wouldn't say a word. If we have a preacher, which here lately I've been such a hog, I ain't preached nobody for 2 months, probably maybe one or two times, and I've been such a hog in preaching. But if we have a preacher, and I usually give the preacher $100 myself, Brother Arliss, when they come, and if I do that, you know, I think, well, boy, things are getting a little tight, you know. I know folks are having it a little harder, a little rougher, but I can tell you this, if you ever hear me preach, now, if God give it to me, as sure as I say this, the Lord will slap me on both sides of the face and say, boy, get up there and preach on tithing. I'll say, oh, God, don't make me do it. Lord, let Brother Arliss, Brother Smith, don't make me preach on tithing. I've never preached on tithing, and I never will unless God tells me to. I preached on the radio station 2 different times, once for about 1.5 years, once for probably 2.5 years, didn't I? Diane, something like that, And a man paid for it over here from Lead Hill. He lived down Marshall Way when he started. When I was on there the longest time, never asked for any money. Never one time asked for any money. And I can tell you, it's very little that ever come, too. Somebody says, well, if you ask, they might give. You know, ask and you shall receive. I said, I will not. I will not get up and spend my time asking for money, even if I needed it. I'd say, God, you can lay it on the heart of somebody. I don't have to ask, Brother Arliss, and beg. But listen, folks, what I'm trying to get at today, those preachers, I pondered this and I thought, how could they keep a congregation of people, 300, 400, 500, maybe 600 people, Brother Arliss, and every week they're having to give them a big percentage of their check. And it blow your mind to know one person told me that went to this certain church, said 1 week they brought in $42,000. 1 week. I said, dear God in heaven, I'd die of heart failure if something like that happened. I said, I can't even begin to comprehend that. 1 week, Brother Arliss. And I can tell you how he's keeping them there. They feel good. The atmosphere's set. They feel good. If you come to this altar of the Sun God and you don't feel like bound there, journey just a little ways. You can walk by the altar of the Moon God. And if you don't feel good there, just keep on going. Even the strangers can come in. Everybody can feel a setting of comfortableness. Everybody can feel an atmosphere that feels good. There's no conviction of sin there. You can just committed fornication and the preacher never preach on sin. You could have committed murder and the preacher never preach on sin. You can be a thief and feel good, Brother Smith, because there's no conviction and no real preaching. And I can tell you, folks will pay for that. But it seems silly. It'd be like me going to a doctor and having something bad wrong, paying a doctor good money, tell me I was in good shape. If I went to a doctor and paid him $200 for a visit and he said, you're just as fit as a fiddle, I'd get mad at him. Because I'd know down deep. Now, that'd sound good. That flattery, oh, it'd sound good. You look good. You're healthy. Man, you don't need to lose a pound. You're doing everything. Whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. Yeah, you just keep doing more. Well, it'd make you want to go back. Another doctor said, yeah, boy, I'm telling you. We got to jerk 55, 60 pounds off you. I don't like that doctor. I ain't about to go back see him. Got to get your life straightened. We got to get your eating habits fixed. We got to get things changed just a little bit. And you know what? He'll be telling you the truth, and you'll leave saying, I ain't even going to pay him when they send the bill. I'm going to say, he didn't do nothing for me, but tell me things I didn't want to hear, and I ain't about to pay that man. You know I'm preaching good. And that's just exactly where we're at today. Folks are saying things that are appealing to the flesh, ear ticklers. I want to deal just for a moment. We're going to come to a close. Brother Arliss, or someone want to come get us a song? Apostle Paul declared here to this bunch after he's saying, it's in him we live and move and have our being. He said, for as much then, verse number 29, as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by the art of man's device. Simply saying, the tangible things, the things that are appealing to this outward look, and things that, I want to tell you something, folks. I'd rather have a church like we used to preach at over on the mountain, House of Prayer, first place I pastored, wasn't it, Ma? Yeah. Or maybe I pastored two churches once at the same time. No wonder I'm gray-headed at a young age. For 4 years, 3 years at one, 4 at the other one. Preached at one, maybe 65 miles apart. One didn't have Sunday morning. I preached Sunday morning at one, Friday night at the other one. And later, left the one and just went to the other one. But the little house, Sister Stella and Brother David, they were going there when they married. We married them back in, was it 92? And little old building that's sitting on rocks for foundation on the side of a bluff. And probably when it was built, I dare to say it cost $350 or $400 to build it. Built way back there, no telling when. Floors is, I mean, you get in the spirit, or you're shouting there, you better be in the spirit, because it'd be like waves on the sea. You'd be able to go headlong. Outside toilet. But I'd rather be in that building and have the presence of God there than to be in the biggest auditorium there is in the United States and God be far from it. And folks not even know this unknown God that Paul was preaching to the Athenians about. Many don't know this God. They know a God of religion, but they don't know this God. I've saw folks that had been in church for years and they'd get saved and they'd say, I thought for 25 years I was saved, but I had religion. Now I know what it is to be born again. It's not what we see or what we feel. Listen to what Apostle Paul said. We're living in a time today, folks, God ain't going to overlook all of this stuff. There was a time before Jesus come, God winked at a lot of this ignorance folks didn't know. But now Jesus has come. The Holy Ghost abides in us and His Word. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched. The Bible says the healing of our infirmities. We can go day or night. And He says now, it was winked at or overlooked, if you will, but now He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Listen to this. I'm going to end with this. Apostle Paul, he's preaching to them about this God that was in the beginning. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. John said, He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and hell. Now he goes down to verse number 31 as we're coming to a close. And he said, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in what? In righteousness. By that man whom he hath ordained, wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Who's that man that he's going to judge the earth in? It's Jesus. The first fruits of them that slept. And Apostle Paul goes from being creator of both heaven, earth, everything that's therein, to now he's going to judge. And how's he going to judge? He's going to judge in righteousness. Isn't that a fearful thought, folks? His judgments will not be like the judgments of the religious realm. His judgments will be in righteousness. Will not a one be able to say, but Lord, didn't I? He's going to say, no, I never knew you. Haven't I? I never knew you. He's going to judge in righteousness. And if we're not in right standing, in righteousness with Him, folks, it'll be a sad day. We've tried tonight to preach to you, having victory over religion. How do I know? So many say. So many religions. How do I know which one's right? The one that will say that it's about me is wrong. The one that says it's all in Him, the only one I know is this true religion James spoke of. It's all in Him. All in Jesus. No other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved, but the name of Jesus. Him declare I, Paul saying, unto you. As I say,